The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I served at the Lutheran Hour for 12 years, and in 2001, I was called back to the seminary to teach. And that year, I happened to be teaching a fourth-year homiletics elective, and I made the offhanded remark that this is a great time to get into the ministry. And the students gave me absolutely no response to that at all. They didn't nod their heads, they didn't smile, they didn't say anything. They just stared blankly back at me. Hey, what's going on here? Well, finally, one of the students broke the silence. Tim Ostermeyer, now a pastor over in St. Anne, he said, you know, we've never heard that before because all our professors have been telling us this is a bad time to get into the ministry. Whoa. That was a come to Jesus moment for Dale. And I've had it in my mind ever since it happened. Now, if you want statistics that suggest this is a bad time to get into the ministry and be in the church, I got them for you. For example, Jihu Hanselis is a scholar of contemporary Christianity, and his researches have told him that on average, every day, on average, 7,600 people in Europe and North America are getting out of the habit of church attendance. Statistics indicate 7,600 people on average every day are getting out of the habit of going to church. All of our faculty and many of our staff have a book called You Lost Me. Some of you students are familiar with it. I hope you all will become familiar with it. And it gives the statistics that show that 18 to 29-year-olds are disengaging from the institutional church like they never have before. And the discouraging thing is that the studies indicate that they are not likely to come back. You want statistics? I got them. Is it a good time to enter the ministry? Is it a good time period to be in the church? I'm really happy that we have with us today on campus and in chapel a tour group from Grace Lutheran Church in Paris, Illinois. If y'all awake, would you raise your hands? All right. That's the home of Ryan Taylor. And it is the home of my mommy. Raise your hand, my mommy. Now, I got to tell you that your mother will never hear a bad sermon that you preach. The problem is that not everybody in the world and church happens to be your mother. So, in this day and age, the statistics and the experiences indicate that it may be a bad time to get into ministry and to be in the church. I wonder, what might Jesus say about it being a good or a bad time to be in church and ministry? What might Jesus say? He's here. He is as here today as he has ever been in the history of the world, and he does have something to say. We heard it before in the gospel lesson. He appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. And the gospel tells us that Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Now, he wasn't talking to them about any anxieties they had about being in the new church or getting into the ministry. He wasn't talking about that. When he said, "Why do doubts arise in your hearts?" he was talking about their doubts about him. They weren't convinced that he is alive and present in their lives. And so he showed them that he's alive and present. "See, I got skin. You guys have something to eat?" Not that he had to eat, but he wanted to show them by eating that he is truly human, glorified now, true God and true man. And then Jesus goes right at the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue is not whether this is a good time or a bad time to be in church or get into the ministry. The issue is, how are you with him? How am I with him? Good times or bad times, they come and go. How is it with you and Jesus? Do you doubt that he is alive? Do you assume sometimes by your actions, your thoughts, your attitude, that he is not present? And that's the heart of the matter that he goes to. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The heart of the matter is that all the scripture, all the stories of the Bible, as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, they all find their yea and their amen in that person, Jesus Christ, present now, with us now, alive now. That's the heart of the matter. It's not whether this is a good time or a bad time. The reason why you and I can have great confidence in ministry and in our life in the church is simply Jesus Christ, who keeps the promises of God in our lives. How did somebody from the previous generation lead you to God, to Jesus, to church? Did they prove mathematically, prove scientifically, prove philosophically, prove beyond any reason of doubt that God is creator, that Jesus is savior, and that there's going to be a judgment day? No. They may have pointed you to some proof passages in the Bible, but as I hope you know, many, many people today dismiss the Bible. They don't believe it's God's truth to us. The fact of the matter is, you did not come because it was proven to you. They told you their stories, the stories of the Bible, the stories of their own lives, the stories about how God created this spectacularly beautiful world, about how God saw us having fallen away from him and he sent someone to pay the price and to be raised again. They told the stories to you and to me over the years. Oh, we've heard them so many times. The stories about how Christ is risen just as he had promised, and that we have before us heaven. And when those stories were told, all the stories containing the various promises of God, the Holy Spirit was there, because wherever the story is told, wherever the gospel is present, the Holy Spirit is there to work the faith. You and I don't work faith. We tell the stories. And so it's going to be in our generation as we continue in ministry or go out into the ministry, continue our lives in the church. Are you going to prove Christianity to anyone scientifically, mathematically, philosophically, beyond any reasonable doubt? Of course not. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. The disciples saw the resurrected Christ, but some of them doubted. They saw him here in the text, but some of them doubted. You're not going to prove it the way the world proves things. And I'm not against the way the world operates. But you're going to go out and tell the stories. The stories you've learned from little on from the Bible, the stories that you have studied here, the stories of how you've experienced this in your own life, that God does keep his promises. The stories that not a single one of us is a freak of evolution, but dearly loved and crafted by God. Stories about the Savior who is with us in the hard times, the bad times, as well as the prosperous and the good times. Stories about how life moves on, and more we begin to focus as we ought on Jesus. The stories of your life that you're going to share, the stories of all of our lives that we share, mirror Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire but thee. My heart, my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's in the telling of the stories that the promises of God are conveyed. And to say it again, where the gospel is present in the promises of God, the Holy Spirit is there to create and nurture faith. And that is a great thing about this day and age. It really is. Whatever's going on out there in the American religious landscape, it is reminding us of the essence of faith. Faith is not proof. Science, mathematics, philosophy, reason are wonderful things. But St. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, we live by faith and not by sight. Faith is hanging on to the promises of God. Faith is hanging on to those stories and appropriating them not as distant Bible stories, but our stories in which God is telling the story of our lives. Faith is hanging on even when all evidence seems to be against the faith. I love the hymn, "Today Thy Mercy Calls Us." There's a line in there that says, when all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer. And that's faith, despite all the external evidence, hanging on to the promises that come in that most blessed story, our story. And that is why this is a great time. It really is a great time to be in church and be getting into the ministry because of him. You're all familiar with Dr. Walther's Law and Gospel, and in the very first page, Dr. Walther says, "I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses, with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage, offering help where help is needed." Confidence and cheerful courage. That's how we go at it, whether the times be good or the times be not so good. Confidence and cheerful witnesses, because you and I are witnesses. Witnesses to the stories. The stories that are our own and through which God keeps his promises in each one of our lives. And to repeat it again, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Confidence and cheerful courage. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.